Right, so we're doing that. We're going back to basics. We want you to give us a call. Those things that nag you. So when you listen to the show and you go, what on earth are they talking about? But I'm going to pretend I know what they're talking about. This is your chance to call. You can even use a fake name. We don't mind. As long as you're asking a proper question. You can give us a call on 011-731-8502. As I said earlier tonight, we're giving away 5 double tickets to the R&B Winex show on Thursday, the 29th, or Friday, the 30th of October. At the Sandton Convention Centre. It's all on a first-come, first-served basis. That means if you call first, you get the ticket. You see what I mean? So that's the number to call. And the terms and conditions apply, which my producers will explain to you when you give us a call. And that's the number, 011-731-8502. Simon, we're in loopy territory, cyclical, all of that stuff. And markets do move in cycles, and I just wonder where you think we are at this point.
Evening, Siki. So markets absolutely move in cycles. Broadly, they go up, they go down. Nothing goes up in a straight line. Nothing goes down in a straight line. And most things don't go down forever. Yeah. The African Bank an exception, but most things don't go down forever. And at the moment, quite simply, it's commodities and resource stocks and mining stocks and the like are at the bottom levels, yeah. And much of the rest of global markets are at the upper levels. And whilst it's fairly easy to point that out and to notice that, you know, in other words, the timing of it, to say, well, then if resources are at the bottom, at some point they've got to move higher.
Yeah.
Yes, when? Well, that's the billion-dollar question. And I mean, no one knows until it actually starts to happen and until we start to see it.
So how do we know if we're at the top or the bottom?
There are a couple of metrics. If you look at markets, for example, we use metrics such as price earnings, which is an indication of value in a sense. Price earnings on our market at the moment, probably about 18.5. The average is probably closer to 14.
Yeah.
And we can say that's getting chunky. So you know that that's probably the easiest one. But even if you just stand back, I mean, if we look at the rand over the last decade and what it's done, we could say, well, 14 and change to the dollar seemed to be a blow off. Nothing moves in a straight line. We're going to see that move coming back. And it's as I stress it again, it's easy to sit here and point this out and to say, you know, if people say, oh, well, then we can trade it and get rich in a hurry. Those nuances are a whole lot harder to actually do. Big picture is quite easy. Minute by minute, a lot harder.
Well, I mean, Wayne was just saying now, like, he's not sure what the right answer is, right? Do we want a stronger rand where we feel richer? Like, oh, I can buy anything, so purchasing power is great. Or the weaker rand, which we're told theoretically is going to help our exports and we're going to boost the economy. What do you think?
I don't think we export enough,
yep.
Perfectly frank. Mm-hmm. That's the trick. I mean, what's our export? Commodities. What are commodity prices? In the absolute doldrums, we're not exporting enough. And I remember a couple of years ago, Kosatu saying we needed 10 rand to the dollar and everything would be fine.
Well, that's what they said.
Well, here it is.
13 to the dollar and everything would be fine.
And here it is.
And it's not fine.
No, it's not fine.
And isn't that part of the problem? And this is one of the points that I put to someone we spoke to earlier this week, that even if we get that rand to 16, 17 rand to the dollar, we've got other issues,
yeah.
Right? We've got the electricity issue. Yeah. So you can't get the productivity,
but
output.
But that is, in theory, a relatively temporary thing. I mean, in theory, that's 2 or 3 years. You know, and if you're building a factory and you take a 30-year view. So, you know, I don't think that in itself is holding the country back. Personally, I think it's a case of volume. To manufacture things cheaply, you've got to have volume.
Yeah.
And our economy just is just not big enough.
Do we not have the competitiveness either? I mean, can we compete with all these other...
Competitiveness is volume. And you take, we make 500,000 cars a year in South Africa. One factory in South Korea will make 3 million cars a year.
Yeah.
And you just can't compete on a per unit basis. Now, a lot of people will say, no, it's labor, no, it's government regulation, no, it's unproductivity.
Yeah.
And all of these things are factors, but the biggest single factor is we just lack size. I mean, the volume's just not there.
Okay. We're going to take some calls. Headphones, gentlemen. Call us on 011-731-8502. We're going back to basics. Let's hear from Pumlani in Pietermaritzburg. Hi, Pumlani.
Good evening, Kitty. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And you?
And good evening to Simon also.
David.
Fine. Thanks. Yes. I just got one question before I ask the question. Thank you so much for yesterday. And the presentation was very great. And your speaker there, Pedri. Yes.
Absolute pleasure.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what is he talking about? Okay.
No, it's fine. Just one quick question. Okay, the property fund index and everything, just some guidelines, where is it going to and everything, this current situation, volatility and everything from there? That's my only question, if possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, property is one of those asset classes that are expensive. We have seen a massive listing boom in property over the last 4 or 5 years, and that's another indication of a market that's closer to a top than a bottom. But property itself, I mean, I've been calling property expensive for a while. It's not going anywhere. And, you know, if you look at U.S. property, it's cheaper. If you look at European property on the metrics, it's cheaper than ours. But our property market is still full of beans, slowed, but still full of beans.
And what do you think, Wayne?
Look, the yields are very low. So I agree with Simon, they are expensive. You know, you can buy long bond yield and get a 1.5% bigger yield buying a long bond than what you can on property. And normally it's the other way around. Property yields are normally higher than a long bond yield because although your distributions or your rentals grow, there is risk. It's not a risk-free investment.
Mm.
So I would concur with that. And I also agree, particularly European property looks a lot cheaper than South African property. I mean, Australian property looks cheaper than South African property.
Also, just a reminder to our listeners, we have a special RMB YNX deal for MoneyWeb listeners and users. You can get a discount. Go to the booking page for RMB YNX on CompuTicket. Type in the discount code MoneyWineX 2015 and you will pay only R145 per ticket. So I've done my payment for this show. But we're talking about listings. We're talking about property. So many listings this month.
So and what's been bothering me is how can we have a market that's expensive and at the top without the listing boom? I mean, forget property for now. That's a different asset class. We were missing the listing boom. We had one in 2007-08. We had one in the dot-com. We had one in the 1980s. And it was worrying me because without that, we can't have a market top. So now we're ticking those boxes. We can argue the quality of the listings coming through. I still think that many of them are decent. They might be expensive. They might be crazily oversubscribed. Signia comes to mind. But they're viable businesses. What we saw back to a degree in 2007 and very much in the late 90s, what I called the PowerPoint listing. You know, a couple of guys got together, made a great PowerPoint presentation and raised a couple of $100 million listing. We're not quite there yet. But why do you list? You're listing to raise capital, you're listing to sell some of your business, and you want to do that at the best valuation possible, of course.
Yeah.
So naturally, when markets are most expensive, that's when you're going to see the most number of listings. So listings will be cyclical like everything else. At a market top, we'll see more of it. When the market is crashing or in bear market and having a tough time, suddenly everyone will disappear and you're not going to come and sell your company at low valuation. So the listings pull away.
Let's take a call from Zweli in Potchefstroom. Hi, Zweli.
Hello, Ziggy. Ziggy, I've got a question. The last interest rate increased by the governor of the Reserve Bank. One of the key reasons given was that it was anticipated that the U.S. Federal Bank was going to raise interest rates over there.
Mm.
Now, the Federal Reserve Bank did not do that. Should our interest rates now drop now that
I love that question. Thanks, Zweli. Zweli in Potchefstroom. I mean,
the logic's 100% sound. Of course, it won't happen because what the Monetary Policy Committee in South Africa will say is that the Americans will raise interest rates. I mean, I'm with Wayne. I've been saying all year, I've got a bottle of whiskey riding on it, and it's bitterly close, that there'll be no US rate increases this year.
Why was I not in on this bet?
Well, you've got to find the count other side. But, you know, I might win the whiskey, but if we, you know, I don't think we're going to get it in February. I don't see it happening. But is it going to happen in 2016? Absolutely. The bigger question is, should our governor of the Reserve Bank and the Monetary Policy Committee, frankly, be watching US interest rates? And I suppose the answer to a degree is this, it's a global economy. But, the, you know, it my mind was, well, what about the internal factors? They worried about the implications of a US interest rate rise for global economies, as seemingly is Janet Yellen, who keeps on looking to Europe and deciding not to.
And Wayne, the concern, of course, is we're in low growth versus high, you know, rising and high inflation. So,
look, I must say, some days I think I've got a tough job, but compared to the Reserve Bank governor, I've got an easy
job.
We sit with a lovely thing called stagflation. Let me explain that. That's no growth and high inflation, which is one of probably the second poorest set of economic circumstances you can be in. Secondly, as a country, we need, I don't know, what's the number, 400 billion rand a year foreign inflows to balance the books. As a country, we spend more than we earn. We import more than we export. And you've got to balance the books, same as everyone. If you spend more than you earn each month, you've got to go to the bank manager. South Africa as a country goes to outside people and borrows money and sells assets like SAB and Massmart to try and fund this difference. And that money only comes if the interest rates look good. That's why our rates must go up when the US rates go up, because we've got to offer more interest than the US. Otherwise, the money's not coming.
The carry trade thing that we
You've got to get money. It's unfortunate. We run a massive trade deficit. And to even complicate things more, we run a very big government deficit. So our country's borrowing needs are actually huge. And the only way you get that money, that money, is by offering, not the only way, but one of the big attractions, is by offering high interest rates. And that's what it boils down to.
If you are an investor right now, Simon, and you're watching this market, what are you thinking?
So, I mean, I'm thinking two things. One, it's expensive, and I'm thinking two, but I've seen this all before. I mean, I was around in the crash of 87. When I say around, I mean,
what do you mean? Where were you around?
No, I was at school. I was a school kid. I was my matric year. Okay. And I remember 98 and I remember 2007, and there will be another one. Will it be as bad as 07, or will it be a more modest 98? I don't know. What I do know is I'm young-ish. I got time on my side, and these things are going to come and go. I'm not going to try and time it. I'm going to hold quality. I'm going to buy them when they're cheap. And when the markets go down, I'm going to buy more of the quality. And the key point is, forget the short-term stuff and make sure that you own quality. If you don't own quality, then it can get very, very messy.
What are you doing, Wayne?
Me,
Firstly, where were you in 87?
No. I'm quite a bit older than everyone here, so I actually remember it well. Lucky enough, it didn't burn me. I was very lucky it didn't burn me.
Good.
But it burnt a good friend of mine, so I remember it well. What am I doing now? I own quality shares, and I just hold them, and I don't buy them, and I don't sell them, and I just keep them for very long time periods.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you. That brings us to the end of this edition of the SAFM Market Update with Moneyweb. Don't worry if you didn't get tickets today. We're going to do this again on Monday. Those tickets for the RMB YNX show on Thursday the 29th and Friday the 30th of October. But you're going to have to call in. And for those of you who don't get through, don't worry. We've got a special deal for Moneyweb listeners and users. You can get a discount. You can go to the booking page for RMB YNX on CompuTicket. Type in the discount code MoneyWineX2015 and you'll pay only 145 rand for your ticket. It's 6:30. Bye-bye.